Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Red Hot Comic Book Movie News. Defenders of the Earth. Defenders. The Weekly Planet. The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. Mason!
Yes.
Put on Ricardo Montalban.
I'm doing it.
Because you've got to have a backup
recorder. We're going to talk about these TV shows. And you're always banging on about, quite frankly.
I certainly am. Because on this show, we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, is that my co-host, Nick Mason?
Sure is.
Knowing that it is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, what a setup for me.
Absolutely,
thank you.
Absolutely, yeah.
And a betrayal?
Yeah, sure.
I think. Well, seemed that way.
It's been a big week, hasn't it?
Mm.
For betrayals, Napoleon, you know?
Oh, that's true, actually.
So many
yeah.
people being like, I'll invade this with you. And then they don't. They let him down.
Right?
He's just a guy. Leave him alone.
He's just a guy. He's an absolute, he's the master of warfare. Because he was like, what if we shoot cannons at people? Seems poor sportsmanship. No, I'm going to do it.
I'm going
to shoot cannons at more people than anyone's ever shot cannons at anyone before. This man's a genius.
I brought more cannons. Well, I do want to talk about that specifically.
Okay.
But we got to get to all the news, Mason. We got a big shuffle around for Scream 7, which
oh, yeah.
is going to be a really fun thing to talk
oh,
about.
Oh, my God.
We've got some Superman Legacy casting. We've got a new creative chief officer at Lucasfilm. We've got a new Karate Kid movie, Mason.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Is it merging the worlds
it
of Karate
appears to
Kid?
Be, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. the Karate Kid multiverse, wow.
Oh, my God, another Jason Bourne movie.
Oh, my God.
And then, of course, the director who stole a bunch of money from Netflix.
Allegedly? Or he did?
It seems like he just did.
Okay. Well, the New York Times said he did.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's their fault anyway.
That's right. And then, of course, we're going to talk about Napoleon.
Mm.
Because what a movie and what a time to be alive.
Absolutely.
I just want to quickly say up top, I was on a podcast recently, which will be out on Monday. So by the time this goes out on the regular feed, called Confessions with Sam Peterson. You might be familiar.
Mm-hmm.
I recently did on the same feed. He also has a podcast. There's a smaller one called I'm the Arsehole where he reads stuff from Reddit. It's like, is this an arsehole? And sometimes, but sometimes not.
It's called Am I the Arsehole? It's not called I Am the
Did
Arsehole.
Did I do? Yeah.
You did say
am
that.
Am I a big
I
arsehole?
Think that was a Freudian slip of some kind.
Am I though?
I'm on a podcast called I'm an Arsehole. And everyone thinks it.
Is that just all the correspondence?
Guilty conscience.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But I did an episode of Confessions with Rob Millsy Mills. People might know.
My goodness. Pop star Rob Millsy Mills.
That's right. He's a star of Stage and Screen
that's
or whatever.
True, yeah.
He's very nice. I'm like,
Stage and Screen or
stage
whatever.
Stage and Screen. Oh, whatever.
Is that on his business card?
Yeah, that's what he handed to me.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I'm like, what's this guy like? I don't know. I've never met him. And he was really, really cool.
I think, you probably can't endure in this sort of business if you're like.
No, he's been doing
the worst
it for like
person in the world.
20 years, yeah, plus. So. Anyway, that was a lot of fun. So that's
well, you can only endure in this business if you're the worst person in the world.
Oh, yeah. It's one or the other.
It's one or the other, and he was the good one.
He was the good one.
That's cool.
So, Confessions, and it'll be linked below. It's just a fun podcast. You've been on a few times. There's a bunch of great comedians and guests.
And us somehow.
And we're in it too.
We're in it sometimes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Sam is an absolute delight.
I've always wondered, like, you know, sometimes you get a message and it's like, hey, can you come on my podcast? And you're like, oh, that's nice. But then you're like, who else dropped out? How many more people dropped out?
Exactly.
What? Where
All
am I?
All of them.
Where am I on the call list? Oh, you had to create a new call list. You ran out of slots. Okay. Well, that's
your
fine.
Phone died from calling different people. You had to buy a new phone.
And you saw me walking past, Charlie Brown style, with my head down, as I often do. And you're like, no, he'll do.
He'll do. Yeah. Mason, we got to do this. We got to talk about Scream 7
mm.
because Melissa Barrera, who's the star of the last two Scream movies. Mm. She's kind of taken over from the Neve Campbell role to be the lead Scream queen in the Scream series. A series which, like, somehow has just remained it's re-emerged as relevant, and it's got good twists and turns.
It's endured like a Rob Millsy Mills.
Exactly.
The Rob Millsy Mills of horror franchises.
Exactly, Mason. Mm. So, yeah, but due to some Instagram stories that you put up about a month ago, she has been let go.
Mm.
And now we've got to get into a conflict.
Yeah, we sure do. We can avoid it. If you don't want to hear this, skip ahead. It's all been time-coded by the great Rob Collings.
How does
he
do it?
Know we were going to do this. None of this is his fault.
No.
So that's cool.
Absolutely not. So, yeah, I know. Where do you want to start on this?
I mean, what was the statement?
Well, the statement was from Spyglass. Spyglass stance is unequivocally clear. Unequivocally. They spelled that wrong,
that's,
not me.
Yeah, that's
I said
bad
right.
on them.
We have zero tolerance for anti-Semitism or the incitement of hate in any form, including false references to genocide, ethnic cleansing, Holocaust distortion, or any other that flagrantly crosses the line into hate speech. Now, if you looked at her stories, which you can, they are
and
available.
I did, yes.
None of that stuff is present in what she said. Like a lot of people, she's like, maybe nobody should be bombing civilians. You know what I mean? Maybe there's a bunch of children that have been like murdered, war crimed, big time. Mm. And this is also, I just want to be clear, this is not me saying that like what Hamas did initially was like justified and like what a cool thing to happen. Mm. God, I hate doing this, Mason.
Right, it's bad.
Because you got to do, and but this.
Well, I was going to say, look, you and I are both Australians.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, generally speaking, we like Australians.
Yeah, sure.
Generally. But I would say, I'm very confident in saying I don't endorse anything the Australian government has done.
No, well, our whole country is built on a genocide.
Yeah.
And, literally.
And for as long as I can remember, it's just been human rights abuses and corruption.
Yeah.
Right? If somebody from outside Australia came to me and was like, I hate Australia, I hate the fact that, you know, you have an island prison concentration camp and you put refugee children in it.
Yep.
I'd be like, yeah. We do. I hate that also. And I also hate the fact that that primarily exists because politicians want to give billions of dollars to their mates in the private sector to run that in the hopes that when they get drummed out of office for being bad politicians, they can just get like a plum consultancy gig for millions of dollars.
Which happens literally every time.
Every single time.
Yep.
But I say that to say we think the Jewish people are tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
We have many Jewish friends and colleagues.
Yeah, also, they're not a monolith. Also,
no, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like any people.
Yeah, we have Jewish friends and colleagues and listeners, I presume. And in my case, I have Jewish relatives.
Yep.
And we don't want to see them killed by Hamas or anyone.
Yeah.
But the government of Israel and the IDF seem to be doing some big time war crimes blatantly.
You would have seen the footage. It's kind of hard to avoid. Mm. Just terrifying stuff.
And look, by their own accounts, they have at this point killed tens of thousands of Palestinians, including thousands of children.
Yeah.
And that's what we call collective punishment, and that's a war crime.
Yeah.
You know, the I would say the only – like, that's too far.
Yeah.
But personally, the official stance of the Weekly Planet podcast is – carpet bombing thousands of children is not cool.
Yeah, don't do it.
We're against it. Yeah. And look, the only reason – look, I feel like the only reason you could think that was justified is if you either think that everybody in Palestine is Hamas, which cannot possibly be true, or you think that – or even if you think that every adult in Palestine is in Hamas or is sympathetic to Hamas, the children are not.
Absolutely.
They cannot be because they are children and they don't know anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you think that Palestinians are not human beings, which they are.
Yeah.
So there you go. So we're against this.
Anyway, so Scream 7.
Yeah.
And look, again, if you read those comments, it's literally just like – it's like, you know, speaking about ceasefire and, you know, and like maybe could we not
carpet bomb civilians. Which is our thing as well.
Yeah.
It's been hospitals. It's been schools. It's been neighborhoods. It's been you should evacuate this way and then they bomb the evacuation room.
Exactly.
And if you've listened to this, I mean, it shouldn't be. At this point, if you've listened to this podcast for more than like a couple of weeks, you probably know where we're at on this. Look, if you're like us and you don't know what to do.
I never know what to do.
Yeah, same, right?
It's also because I don't like to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, go on.
You can call your local member of parliament or congressman, senator, whatever it is. I'm sure if you can find a list of resources on the internet if you want to call. Look, our official stance is we would like a ceasefire.
Absolutely.
But
which we're in the middle of, maybe still by the time this comes, we'll say.
Yeah, let's it's not.
It's a temporary thing.
There are plenty of petitions you can sign online. You can go there in Melbourne, especially, and I'm sure elsewhere around the world. There's been a bunch of protests. I've been to a couple of those.
Yeah.
And just get out there and you know, show support for, we don't want to see kids blown up.
Absolutely.
But also, if you've heard this and you're like, this is a personal affront to me, that's on you, I think.
Yeah.
So,
but we love you.
No, we still love you.
Because we accept everybody.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, so what's going to happen with Screen 7 is, well, now that she's out and apparently also...
How much of that will get cut out? Well, who knows? Jenna, let's listen back and see if we sound like lunatics.
Absolutely. Jenna Ortega was also left, but apparently that's also... That was like reported again because it was rumored that she was filming Wednesday. Okay. Something that's been known for a while.
Yeah, and she hasn't said anything. She hasn't made any statement about it, so we can't like presume that she's doing it in protest or anything like that. So.
Yeah.
We do know the director was like, he put up a tweet that was like, this sucks.
This is my statements from Christopher Landon. Everything sucks. Stop yelling. This was not my decision to make. So what they're doing now, the producers over at Spyglass, they're approaching Neve Campbell, who left the franchise, and Patrick Dempsey, if you recall, is the husband of Neve Campbell in the movies they met in Scream 3. So they're going to have to throw a bunch of money at them to make this happen. I thought that franchise like did really well to like lose like the star and continue in the last one.
Yeah.
So they're in a bit of a bind here.
Yeah.
But, you know. You can fire people. You're allowed to fire people. So if that's the decision that you want to make, you
maybe
can
our
do
hosting
that.
Company will fire us.
Maybe they will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, this is what fun discourse.
Yeah, I love it. Let's talk about being in the discourse. Love having a platform where we get emails one way or the other that are like, you should join the discourse. Mm. Like, but we don't want to. We want to keep this in our private lives, quite frankly.
So Superman Legacy got some casting this week, Mason. A couple confirmed, this by THR. Skylar Gizondo is playing Jimmy Olsen. Mm-hmm. And boy, does he look exactly like Jimmy Olsen. Not muscular Jimmy Olsen.
That's right.
They're always giving us a muscular Jimmy Olsen. Right. He's got a handgun. He's a secret agent.
I'm actually James Olsen now. Because that's what a handsome man would be called.
That's what a handsome man.
Not in every instance.
No, but a lot of the time, yeah. On top of that, Deadline reporting that Sarah Sampaio... He's playing Eve Teschmarks. Said that again. Teschmarker.
I think so. So that's Lex Luthor's like
assistant girlfriend.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Confidant. Mm. She's in Superman 1.
Yeah, and she's in Superman Returns, right?
Yeah. Yeah, she is. Is she?
Yeah, it's Parker Posey.
Oh, that is her, is it? I thought it was a different character.
I think it's
great. That's really good stuff.
Let's do some big time research.
Let's do some light
but
research.
But Skylar Gisondo that's a great get. Absolutely. Yeah, people will know him from Santa Clarita Diet. He's also on The Righteous Gemstones, I believe, although I haven't seen that show. Yeah.
No, she plays Kitty Kowalski.
Oh.
So I thought she wasn't the same, and now I feel vindicated in my opinions, all of my opinions.
Okay, great.
And in addition to that, the rumor is that Nicholas Holt is Lex Luthor.
That's great.
Who you might know as the little boy from About a Boy and Nothing Else. His little bowl haircut.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's hanging out with Hugh Grant. He's getting his shoes stolen.
That's right.
That guy's Lex Luthor.
And 2 decades of nothing, and then they brought him back. It's a real Kei Hui Kwan situation.
Absolutely it is. I think even if this is true, which it seems to be, I think he's a great choice. He's like young. He probably looks good bald, I assume.
And the real life narrative is he got knocked back for the role of Superman.
Yeah.
Which is a very Lex Luthor thing to do.
Absolutely. Sinister. Sinister motives is what you're saying. This actor
that's
has.
Right. Revenge.
Oh, my God.
You know what they should do is they should get Corin Sweat? What's his name? Is it David Corin?
He's looking big as well. Have you seen the photo?
Is it David Corin Sweat?
David Corin Sweat.
They should get him to throw some chemicals on Nicholas Holt so he goes bald.
For real.
For real. You know. But anyway, Skylar Gisondo, great choice.
Yeah.
He's got the Jimmy Olsen incredible enthusiasm followed by incredible regret vibe.
Sure,
you know that
thing?
Where he just barrels into something and he's like, oh no. Yeah. I've gone too far here.
Why did I do this? Yeah. Superman, catch me. You know, he falls off or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah. But also he has a piece of kryptonite on him for some reason. Why did he do that?
What was this?
Because he's silly. Sometimes he might.
Oh, I see, right.
He's like, what am I doing? He doesn't know, but sometimes he knows.
Yeah. All right, first of all, stop reading directly from the script of Superman Legacy, if you wouldn't mind.
What else we got next, Mason? Dave Filoni.
That's the guy from Star Wars.
That's the guy from some Star Wars, a lot of Star Wars. He's been promoted to...
Now he's the guy from all Star Wars.
Well, he's been promoted to Chief Creative Officer over at Lucasfilm. Yeah. So that's in it. Like, he's kind of did this role unofficially. Well, here's a statement from him who said, in the past, in a lot of projects I'll be brought into, I would see it after it already developed at a good ways. In the new role, it opened up to basically everything that's going on. When we're planning the future of what we're doing now, I'm involved at the inception phase. Now, some people like this because... He's considered to be like the protege of George Lucas.
That's true.
He came on board with Clone Wars in 2008 or before that, but it came out in 2008 and he's been like, A lot of good stuff you've seen in animated in particular, like, has come from him.
Has he done movie stuff?
No, TV stuff? He started directing some episodes of The Mandalorian and worked with Jon Favreau, but Ahsoka is his, the Ahsoka TV series. So that's the other side of it. People are like, well, that's not a great TV series, is it? And now this guy is sort of in charge of Star Wars. But I wouldn't say this is necessarily in charge. This is just like a guy who's like, well, you can't do that because, like, that guy doesn't have a laser yet and whatever. You know, that guy doesn't have a laser. He gets it in Return of the
Jedi. James, are you reading directly from the script of Star Wars Episode 10 again?
Correct.
Wow. That guy hasn't got a laser yet. He's going to get it later. Thanks, Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's back from the dead.
So, yeah, what do you think about that? I mean, I guess it's good to have some oversight, somebody who's, like, looking at all of the things.
Sure.
You know?
Was there not a guy like that before?
I don't think so. Huh. I mean, as you said, he was kind of brought in afterwards. Or, like, if they'd go to do something, they'd have to go to, like, the canon group and be like, can we do this? Does this guy have a laser yet?
Mm.
No, he doesn't have a laser yet.
No, we've checked canon. We've checked the canonicity of this guy. He doesn't have a laser.
Yet.
Yet.
Yeah.
Wink.
Wink.
Does that wink imply he's going to get a laser? We can't say.
We would never say. Yeah.
Wink, and now I'm just saying wink.
My goodness. So, yeah, I mean, I guess, it is good to kind of have a – I mean, uniformity doesn't sound good.
It sure doesn't. Sure doesn't.
Yeah.
When you said uniformity, I just imagined like
– sorry, I meant to say conformity. That's better, isn't it?
Yep, that's even better. When you said uniformity, I just pictured a big tub of margarine.
What?
I don't know. Because it's all uniform. You open the margarine. Oh, and it's all like a smooth and pale yellow and not interesting.
God. I love that a lot.
But what can you do with it?
Yeah.
You can spread it on some bread and you can go, I would have preferred butter.
Yeah.
I would have preferred butter, honestly. I don't know. What even they make mayonnaise out of seeds?
I got Vegemite on the knife, then I put the knife back in the margarine and others. I can't. Oh, God. Yeah.
Star Wars.
Star Wars, exactly. So, yeah, I don't know. How do you feel about this? I don't know. I think it's the early days. I like him. I like a lot of his work. Mm-hmm. I think, like, a lot of the animated stuff he's done is really good.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And, like, for Ahsoka, I was like, some of this is really interesting and great. And others, I'm like, this is boring.
Well, then I guess the question there is, was the fact that some of that is boring, is that – well, I mean, is it on us that some of that was boring? Because I'm not familiar with
people soured on it. Mm-hmm. You know, and some people also don't like that a lot of what he's doing is just like, well, I made this person in animated and now they're live action.
Right,
and it's becoming like his universe. I don't care because, like, you get that, you get Andor, you get Obi-Wan.
Sure.
I mean, and they're all equally good.
Yes,
you get
that's true.
Book of Boba Fett.
So you're saying that this, you're largely indifferent to this?
Yeah.
As long as he keeps his grubby bits off Andor?
Yeah, exactly. Give me Andor season 2 and then shut it down.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, unless it's bad, in which case do season 3.
I guess the question then becomes, if he's the chief creative officer, is he a guy who is going to green light? Can he green light stuff?
No, he's under Kathleen Kennedy.
Okay, right.
Yeah, so which I know you love.
Okay, well then can he? I imagine he can provide recommendations.
Yeah, and, exactly. Okay, right. Yeah.
So I guess the question then becomes: is he a guy who is like, I'm willing to, you know, I like this idea.
Oh, you're doing like a Jedi hand wave.
I
like this idea. Give him a laser, but not yet.
Not yet. Let the people wait for the laser, his signature laser. Do you think that he's the kind of person who will say, that's a good idea, it's not in my wheelhouse, but I appreciate that other people have come up with idea around? Or is he a guy who's like, doesn't really gel with my vision of all the stuff that I invented?
He's always had the opportunity to like veto stuff which clashes with him. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping it's a situation where like if he got like a Tony Gilroy who's like, I want to do this version of Star Wars, he'll be like, yep, do it.
Yeah.
Like that's what I'm hoping for. Yeah. Where you can still get creative voices coming in and doing something that's not just look at these animated characters, they're real now or whatever, which I'm also fine with. Star Wars is a mixed bag and it always has
been,
and
it
always will be. And that's why I love it. But also I hate it.
Yeah, or it might become worse.
Yeah, whatever.
Uniformly worse.
It's fine, man. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Let things get worse, and then they have to make something new.
Mm.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's do a new thing.
Yeah.
For once.
Stargerine.
Stargerine.
Wargerine.
What? Is that like Waluigi?
Star Wars margarine.
Okay.
But also, Waluigi, yes. Yes, sure. Okay.
Great.
We're just working on these ideas until they become just
Star Wars movies.
Star Wars movies, yes.
Because that fly, Mason, that goddamn fly.
There is a fly in here, that's true.
Yeah, it's been in here for a long time. It's really throwing my game off.
Okay. When you say a long time, do you mean today or do you mean for years?
No, for this segment.
Oh.
I have to talk. There, it's gone. I'll quickly close the door. I'm yelling because I realize when I'm away from the mic,
mm.
it's not very, doesn't sound very good.
That was a smooth transition back to normal speaking
that
voice as well.
Really good.
Yeah.
Mason, are you a fan of all the Karate Kid movies / TV show and also the Jaden Smith version?
No.
Then you're in luck, my friend.
Nice.
Well, sorry, you were in luck previously because I think they weren't doing this, but now you're out of luck because they're doing something which incorporates all of those things.
Oh, nuts.
Yeah, if this was last week, you were in luck, mate.
Okay.
I'll tell you that.
Just living in my ignorance, sort of liking some Karate Kid stuff, just in my easy chair.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
walking around Charlie Brown style in the neighborhood.
Stop walking around Charlie Brown style. You're going to get invited to too many podcasts.
Yeah, that's true.
Jackie Chan and Ralph Macchio are teaming up for a Karate Kid movie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's interesting because they both trained different Karate Kids.
That's true.
Though I think Jackie Chan's one taught Kung Fu or something, maybe.
Well, yeah, wasn't that – neither of us saw the
– I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, wasn't the joke that he was called the Karate Kid? Like, didn't – wasn't it the other kids mocked him and called him the Karate Kid? But Jackie Chan would teach him Kung Fu because that's – the martial arts Jackie Chan is famous
exactly
for.
Yeah, and whatever country they were in probably for that movie. So Jackie Chan's character, you might think it was Mr. Miyagi. No, his name was Mr. Han. And Ralph Macchio's character, you might think his name is Mr. Miyagi, but no, his name's Danny LaRusso.
Interesting.
And they're going to team up and
– I thought that whole franchise was really oddly racist. But
No. I mean, it is.
Yeah, but, yeah.
In a good way. In a way that the Netflix show can poke fun at.
That's
now.
Terrific.
So they also announced a global search to find a young actor to play the main protagonist of the upcoming film. So they're looking for a brand new Karate Kid. They're looking for the next Karate Kid, but not Hilary Swank.
What about
the
one
next
of those
Karate Kid?
What about one of those just really upsettingly buff, like 10-year-old Eastern European kids?
I hate
you see
those
in videos.
Kids. I don't.
And they're all like, and they're lifting barbells, and you're like, what is this Photoshop? What's going on? I hate this.
Breaking cinder blocks.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah. Could be one of those kids, yeah.
Right, yeah.
No, it'll be a skinny nerd who can do a spin kick or a crane kick.
I understand, sure.
Now, in terms of continuity, like the Karate Kid continuity is kind of wild now on Netflix. And everybody's come back and everybody's fighting each other in a tournament all the time.
Has Hilary Swank come back?
I don't think so as of yet.
Okay.
But I think they're going to kind of brush over a lot of that and
I
just
haven't
be
seen
like
Hilary Swank in anything in a long time. Is she retired? Maybe?
No, she was in that movie where like they could have put all the people on the island and made them shoot each other or whatever recently, and that was like controversial, but it was like not that controversial.
Oh,
what was it called?
No idea. Well, Wikipedia says American actress and film producer, so I guess she's producing mostly now.
She better be. She better be, Mason.
The Hunt, was it called?
Yeah, it was called The Hunt, yeah. Okay. Which I didn't mind,
right?
Actually. But there was like all this controversy about like, hey, this is poking fun at whatever, but it's like, not really.
Yeah. Oh, Logan Lucky, that's the last thing I remember her from.
Ah,
that was 2017.
My goodness.
It was last year.
Why isn't she doing a Karate Kid? Why isn't she doing a Karate Kid? I'm just looking.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, she hasn't done a Karate Kid yet.
Okay.
So there you go. So yeah, why not more Karate Kids?
Sure.
I stopped watching that show last season mm-hmm. before. But not by choice. I just stopped, and I think Netflix stopped putting it up in front of me.
Sure. Do you think we'll get a Jaden Smith cameo?
Potentially.
Do you think other things?
I think a lot of things.
We're going to cover all the bases. We're going to cover all the things you think, apparently.
Okay. You said it, not me.
Here's James telling us everybody what he thinks.
Yeah, this is what the show is.
Oh, I've set up a podcast where I tell people what I think about pop culture.
Yeah.
Brr.
Yes.
Oh, I got my friend Meso involved. Oh,
that's how it happens.
Oh, it's like a job for him now and he gets paid for it. Oh, look at me.
Is that me or you?
I don't know anymore. Oh.
Yes.
That's great,
what
actually.
What did you think it was?
I don't know. I don't know. So have they established it? How much of Cobra Kai have you watched?
Probably the first three or four seasons, however many there are.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Has there ever been any indication that the Jackie Chan, Jaden Smith universe is part of this, the regular universe?
I always just assume that, I mean, I wouldn't have when I saw it, but he was just like Mr. Miyagi again.
Yeah, right.
But he's obviously not.
Yeah,
it's got some pretty good martial arts in it, that one as well.
Yeah,
and
right.
Jackie Chan actually, he does as a scene where he's like, he's drunk and I don't think he's really drunk, but he's talking about his wife who passed away. He's actually really good in it. And there's a scene where he also beats up a bunch of like 10-year-olds.
Nice, good.
And that's fun too.
Not those muscular Eastern European
10-year-olds.
No,
just regular 10-year-olds.
Whoa,
well, some of them know, they all know Kung Fu, but it's whatever. But it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's fun.
Okay.
And both of us believe it's fun.
And look, obviously what's going to happen is they're just going to meet by chance, maybe at a karate tournament, Jackie Chan and
the other guy. Ralph Macchio.
Ralph Macchio. Mm. But in my heart of hearts, I would like there to be portals.
Sure.
You know? Multiverse. Maybe at a karate tournament.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
I mean, why would Jackie Chan be at a karate tournament when he's a kung fu guy?
That's a great point.
Yeah. It's a lot to think about.
On his dimension, they're kung fu tournaments.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I guess there is.
And I think Ralph Macchio and Jackie Chan in their respective universes will do a punch on their opponent so big at the same time it'll breach the dimensional barriers.
Damn.
And then they're actually punching themselves. And they're like, what are you doing here? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's et cetera. Yeah, so he's Spider-Man. You basically he's talking about making that Spider-Man movie, but with these guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Sounds really good.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Do you
think? That's what I think.
So this week also we had John Woo saying, because John Woo's doing Silent Night, he's directed the new action movie coming out
Joel
for Christmas.
Kinnaman. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And of course they had to ask him the superhero question. He's
always.
Like, and he's like, no, I don't like superhero movies or whatever. And people are like, this pretentious, this guy. You know?
I love it.
Yeah. This art house director of the movie Hard Boiled.
Face Off. Broken Arrow.
Exactly, yeah.
Paycheck.
Wow.
Yeah, all good movies.
Stop reading from the works of Shakespeare, James. Let's talk about the work of, no, I don't know. But I'm just excited for, again, they're going to ask Jackie Chan about superhero movies and he's going to be like, I don't see him. They're going to be like, how dare you?
Is he in one?
I don't know.
Let me check.
I reckon he's probably in like some sort of pre-superhero thing.
Well, he was in like, I mean, he essentially is, but he did like the tuxedo where he's like a James Bond.
Oh, of course, that's probably,
whatever.
yeah, you're right.
I was in Mutant Mayhem, there you go.
Oh, of course he is, he's Splinter, yeah.
Kung Fu Panda, is he in that? Oh, yeah, is he one of the animals?
No, he's just regular Jackie Chan.
Oh, what's he doing there
he's
then?
He's just wandering around.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't eat this animated food. It doesn't work in my cell. I'm trapped here. I'm starving.
Did he punch into the dimension?
Yeah, he did, yeah. Okay, he punched into the dimension again. Like the Spider-Man movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So here we go. This is by the New York Times. There was a series that was coming to Netflix called Conquest. Mm. And it was going to be the director of who made one movie. It's called 47 Ronin with Keanu Reeves.
With that track record, I mean, if he's getting a Netflix show, it must be a well-reviewed movie.
I have
generally
seen it, and it's not. Mm. Well, I barely remember it. I didn't think it was that bad from memory.
But Rotten Tomato says 16%.
Yeah,
right?
Not great. But anyway, so his name is Carl Eric Rinsk. And so, yeah, he was given $55 million by Netflix to create this new sci-fi series, right? The show was originally going to be a 13-episode run with an initial budget of $44 million. And then in 2010, he requested an additional £11 million pound, it says here as well. So,
okay.
So it says dollars and then pounds? That doesn't make any sense where have I got this from. But the filmmaker allegedly blew $10.5 million from the show's 2020 funding round on stocks, eventually losing $5.9 million. He then pivoted to cryptocurrency, allegedly using $4 million to buy up Dogecoin.
Love that Dogecoin.
He knows what he's doing.
Oh, he loves those meme coins.
Yeah, my God. The director nearly turned this into $27 million, then reportedly proceeded to spend $8.7 million on sports cars and designer goods. That's pretty good.
Nice. That's doing all right. Yeah.
But Netflix had...
You got to spend that money to make that money, you know what I mean?
Very true.
Yeah.
But Netflix, though, didn't receive a single episode of the series and it was recently cancelled. Like a bunch of stuff has been recently cancelled, so it just kind of got lost in the shuffle.
He could have got away with this.
Yeah. So a Netflix spokesperson, Thomas Cherian, came out and said this. While the company provided funding and support for Rinsk's series, after a lot of time and effort, it became clear that Mr. Rinsk was never going to complete the project he agreed to make.
Mm.
But here's a fun twist, Mason.
Go on.
Netflix and Rinsk are now locked into a confidential arbitration that was initiated by the director himself. He says that Netflix owes him $14 million in damages for breach of contract.
Oh, this is great
presumably
stuff.
Presumably canceling the series. You don't often see things like this, Mason.
No.
Just a man openly stealing money.
I mean, maybe it's happening on every Netflix
There's definitely like productions where you look at, I think even Red Letter Media did a video on it, but like Adam Sandler gets $50 million for a movie and then takes all his friends to Hawaii.
Yeah, of course.
Buys them all sports cars and then they film it in a pool or whatever. You
that's
know?
Right.
Which I have no problem with. Let me just clarify.
I can't remember who said it. It was an old school Hollywood celebrity, I think, who's on Twitter. Maybe like Steve Martin or something like that.
Sure.
I don't know who it was. But they were like, somebody asked him why, maybe he was a producer, but they were like, somebody's like, why are these movies all $100 million? And they were like, well, you can't steal $1 million out of a $10 million shoot, can you?
Yeah.
But for $100 million, you can, and people won't notice kind
absolutely.
Of thing.
Or you can invest a bunch of it in Dogecoin.
In Dogecoin.
I wonder if he's up. Like I wonder if he made like he's still up, like he's well in the green from this.
Some of the other fascinating. So this is from the New York Times.
Yeah.
Here's some other fascinating things.
Oh, look at Mr. Subscription to New York Times over here. Right. Must be nice.
So it says Mr. Rinch financed the production with his own money at first and hired mostly European actors and crew members, which reduced costs and avoided Hollywood union rules.
Mamma mia.
The earlier shoots followed punishing schedules. During a shoot in Kenya, Mr. Rinch reportedly insisted on filming for 24 hours straight. In Romania, the lead actress caught hypothermia doing a scene bare-legged in the snow and had to be rushed to a hospital.
Jesus.
To keep the project going, he secured investment from 30 West and Keanu Reeves, who came on as a producer because he was in 47 Ronin. Rinch finished editing 6 short episodes ranging from 4 to 10 minutes.
Okay.
He used them to pitch the big streaming companies on a 13-episode, 120-minute first season.
Ooh, wait, 120 minutes?
Yeah.
First season?
So 13 episodes, 120 minutes. So like 13 10-minute episodes?
Yeah. Love it.
There's also saying
that's a web series.
There's also, he's got some other behaviors. I'm going to find this other.
He's got some other behaviors?
Oh, he's got some other behaviors, my friend.
This guy. He's your mate, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
And you endorse him?
Yeah.
This guy.
Okay, right. Soon after he signed the contract, Mr. Rinch's behavior grew erratic, according to members of the show's cast and crew, texts and emails revealed by the New York Times, and court filings in a divorce case brought by his wife. He claimed to have discovered COVID-19's secret transmission mechanism and to be able to predict lightning strikes.
Wow, is that true, though? Did he really?
Yeah, he did that. Yeah. I mean, he's never been struck by lightning, has he?
Predicted it.
Yep, that's right. Anyway, pretty good, right?
Yeah, that is pretty good. Anyway, so he's fine?
Well, Mr. Rinch declined to respond to a detailed list of questions. In a recent Instagram post, he said he did not cooperate with the Times because he expected the article to be inaccurate. He predicted that it would, quote, discuss the fact that I somehow lost my mind. I did not.
Sounds like he didn't.
Yep. Yeah.
And who said that again? Netflix said he didn't lose his mind.
Yeah, everybody said he didn't lose his mind. Everybody's very confident he did not lose his mind. He's looking good though. He's got a good look to him. He's got an onset look. He's wearing a waistcoat.
Yeah, that's cool. He's got a ponytail. Looks like a Sabre tooth.
Yeah. I'd give him $50 million or whatever.
You reckon you would?
I mean, I don't have it.
But. I mean, now, even off the back of hearing all this, would you give him $50 million?
Just to see what he'd do with it,
yeah. Just to see if he can make 10-minute episodes.
Or see if he can make $10 million out of that $50 million. Is it my money? No. It's Netflix's money. Yeah, you can have it.
Great stuff. Should we be Napoleon?
Yeah.
Wow.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got 2 choices.
Oh, this piece of shit, mother f***.
Or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media,
and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. And you know what's really annoying? When you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot. Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify, and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
Oh, everybody.
Oh, no.
You don't like stereotypes?
I love them.
You love stereotypes.
I love them when they're true.
Yeah, exactly.
And the French, let me tell you.
Boy, do they.
Wonderful.
Wonderful people.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful place.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it, actually, genuinely.
Me too.
Yeah. Mason, we're going to talk about Napoleon,
yes.
Big movie of the week.
That's right.
We're not doing Trolls 3, unfortunately.
No.
I'll come back to that next
year. I didn't even know Trolls 3 was out.
It was out. Or it's not out? I can't remember.
Right.
But it might be out.
Mm.
But look, on a budget of between $130 and $200 million.
Okay.
All right. It's through Apple as well. This is going to be an Apple streaming situation.
Okay.
So similarly to Killers of the Flower Moon.
So we could have stayed home.
Not yet because it's not out yet.
Right.
The box office in the US alone is looking to hit about $36 million, which is not terrible, but it's fine. It's like,
yeah.
But Killers of the Flower Moon, like, I think it did a bit less than this, but then it like bottomed out.
And right.
It's, I mean, I like that movie a lot, but it's almost certainly lost them a bunch of money.
Sure, but and I mean, Apple don't seem to be in this for the money.
They don't give a shit.
Yeah, they are.
They want premium movies.
They want prestige. They want that prestige that you can only get from a Martin Scorsese.
Exactly.
Or Ridley Scott, you know?
Ridley Scott, that's right, he's back.
Yeah.
He's 110 years old and he's still going out.
He's not, he's 85.
Yep.
And he is, he's the diametric opposite of Martin Scorsese, because Scorsese is all like, oh, I've got so many regrets and I don't have a lot of time left and I don't know what I can... I don't know what I can do left, and I don't know if I've made the right choices in the films that I've made in my life. And Ridley Scott's like, I made four movies in between you making Flower Moon. I made four movies. I'll make a million movies. I'll never die.
I rated them good. I didn't watch them back.
I don't know. If they're bad, it was the writer's fault.
Well, I think oftentimes with Ridley Scott movies, that is the case. Because I think in terms of the way that his movies look and are directed, they're all very good.
Yeah.
Like from that perspective. I mean, you might be like, Prometheus is dumb. What a dumb movie.
Sure.
But it fucking looks good, doesn't it?
Sure does, yeah.
Anyway, what do you think the story was?
Oh, come on, mate.
It's Napoleon times.
It is. It's Napoleon time.
It's Napoleon time, everybody. Give him a moment.
Let
him spread his little wings.
That's exactly right. It's Napoleon time. And very fortunately, Napoleon's alive in Napoleon time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's his time to shine.
Yeah.
It's Napoleon time for Napoleon to shine.
Yeah.
And
he'll tell you all about it.
That's right. And so we get, I wouldn't say a snapshot of his life, because it spans many, many, many years.
Probably like 40 years,
but
maybe?
It's a series of snapshots, and it's like, you can't.
A series of battles and.
Yeah, you can't, you could not, I don't think you could encapsulate the entire life of Napoleon in.
No.
It's 3 hours. Even in 3 hours.
Yeah.
Also,
didn't mind the length on this one.
Yeah.
It felt like, yeah, this is a good 3 hours.
Uh-huh.
I'm enjoying this wildly inaccurate movie where nobody is doing any accents. Everybody's British. Really confusing, by the way.
Sometimes it was.
Because where is anybody from?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, maybe you didn't feel it this time because it didn't feel like there was an additional movie tacked onto them.
Oh, that's true.
At the end of it.
Yeah.
The last
and I'm
hour.
Like, I know they got to do Waterloo and Second Exile. I know what's coming.
That's right.
I know what's coming.
That's right.
Anyway, so it's Napoleon times and it's his life and his loves.
Ooh.
And I tell you what, Mason,
So a large portion of this movie is dedicated to the love of him and the love of his life, whose name
Josephine Bonaparte. Yeah.
And what we really get here is a snapshot of a man who, just a beautiful, well-rounded individual who's just a wonderful lovemaker.
You mean a grub. He's a real ratty little grub, humping away. That's what he is.
What did you... No, that's normal.
Oh,
he's doing his normal. I mean, there's a bit of uproar because they're like, you've kind of made him into a joke and a buffoon and he sucks and he makes love badly and his wife hates him and
well,
whatever.
Well, guess what? He's dead. Who cares?
He's dead and like, you know what? He probably did fucking suck.
He's been dead for hundreds of years. It's fine.
All of these guys are
they
awful.
They all did, yeah. And again, like... I can only assume that the – because, you know, we cover his kind of his personal life. But we also cover, like, the battles that he
– Yeah,
that
some
he,
of them.
That he, that he commanded and he participated in and all that sort of stuff. And assuming that those are accurate
– Yeah.
He doesn't seem like a good guy particularly.
No, okay. I do have a list of inaccuracies which we will get to because a lot of this, it's wildly inaccurate. And Ridley Scott was, like, questioned on this and he said something like, look, I don't care, like, because the French didn't like this. And a lot of the French, and he said, the French don't even like themselves. Like, he doesn't give a fuck, like, at all. It does feel like he does not like Napoleon.
Yeah, right.
Because, you know, I feel like with, like, Gladiator, even though Gladiator is also, like, wildly inaccurate, so much of, but that's kind of like a time period where people are like, I don't know, Emperor Commodus, who the fuck is that? Like, who cares?
Yeah, right, uh-huh.
Like, who's Maximus? Whatever.
Emperor Commodus, more like Emperor like, Toilet.
Well, got him. But with this, like, people know Napoleon, you know. Also, I haven't seen this, but I want to watch it. I haven't had time. He did a movie in 1977 called The Duelist, which is set during the Napoleonic era. Oh. And apparently it's got really, really, like, it's got, like, what's his name? Harvey Keitel.
Oh.
It's got really accurate, like, period accurate, like, swordsmanship in that.
Oh, I see, right.
It's very good, so I might check that out. So
is it perhaps that was not as well received or people have forgotten?
People like it.
I'll do what I want now.
I think that's more just, like, sword fighting and this is, like, battles and cannons. Okay. And let's talk about his, because like he was a master tactician of his day. We talked about this, right? But they do not display that here at all. I'm not saying that he isn't. He probably was. But like a lot of the stuff he does here is just like, yeah, just put the cannon there. Yep. I brought more cannons, I think, or more cannonballs.
Yeah,
than the other side.
Those guys actually didn't even think to bring cannons at all.
So. They're just running at me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is a lot of just, like, he shot cannons better than other people because that's his thing. I mean, that's everybody's thing in this era. Yeah. You send your troops in on foot, you send your horses in, you shoot cannons, and you do that in whatever order on whatever terrain, and that's how you, according to this movie at least.
Until you run out of soldiers.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you are a brave general.
That's right. I did like because he does a few of the battles himself, like he's involved. Like the first one he does in particular, you see him, he's, like, scared and – whatever, he's like, oh, I'm scared, but he's still in there. He's still among it with
that's
his
true,
brother
yeah.
and whatever. Mm. And there is a moment where he's wearing his hat straight forward and he goes, hang on a minute, turns it sideways.
That's right.
And that's how you know he's arrived.
That's right. You know? You better believe it.
Now,
well, he would have gotten there on his horse.
Oh, yeah.
Then it would have been streamlined for horse riding and then he would have turned it for wind resistance.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
I like Joaquin Phoenix in this, but I think a problem with this movie is that, like, nobody's really speaking French, as I mentioned, or, like, doing accents and any of that. So I did find it kind of like you don't want to, like, just throw in some any of that at any point. You know, it's just everybody's British.
Yeah.
This whole
yeah, but that's
movie.
The general, like
– I know. But
the general,
like,
historical accent.
I know
British,
that. But, like, when you're, like, intermingling, like, other countries
– Yeah.
They're all British?
Yeah, but I also like – because if you – I don't know. Because people would have different interpretations of, say, the French accent. You know, all the different actors would. And so at a certain point, you'd be like...
I mean, Joaquin Phoenix could do it, though.
Yeah, of course he could, yeah.
He could definitely do
it.
I
guess you could have him come in and do the French accent and Ridley Scott could be like, okay, everybody model yours off his.
Yeah, okay.
Kind of thing, you know?
How much do you think of his rise to power is like right place, right time, and how much was... I mean, because somebody's got to get to the top.
That's true.
Like when there's a revolution, somebody eventually becomes like the leader.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
Like, how much do you think is just
not
like,
in my revolution, everybody would be equal.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, isn't it?
Except right? You'd be the leader.
Yeah, yeah, because I'm the most enlightened one because I came up with the idea that everybody would be equal.
Yeah.
So I'd be at the top, though.
It makes me wonder, like, it's like that idea that, you know, like, master, like gunsmen, you know what I mean? What are they called? Like, cowboy boys, you know? Yep.
That's it, cowboy boys.
It's like this guy's the best.
Gunslingers.
Yeah, this guy's the best gunslinger. But, like, statistically, somebody has to be. somebody has missed a certain amount of times and got lucky a certain amount of times, and there's a certain amount of skill involved.
Uh-huh.
And like, and I felt this like for this movie of like, he kind of winged a bunch of
this. Are you trying to moneyball Napoleon, James? Is that what's happening here?
This version, at least.
Okay, right.
Also, I did enjoy this. Like, yeah, I thought it was pretty funny as well.
For it is a lot funny, of it. Yeah. It's funny. I think the battle sequences are really well staged and they're kind of brutal.
Yeah, I think they are some of the time, but I think a lot of the close-up hand-to-hand stuff, there's nothing in here that I... Like, I think back at Gladiator.
Okay.
And there's, like, multiple battles in that I could point to. Because Ridley Scott, of course, if people don't know, directed Gladiator. Like, the opening one in the snow.
Uh-huh.
The bit where, like, they're fighting in the pit and there's, like, the tigers on chains and whatever.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
The bit at the end where he fights Joaquin Phoenix and he's been, like, stabbed. And it's a fucking incredible movie.
As Napoleon.
Yeah, as Napoleon, yeah. Wow. He has a time machine. Yeah. And that's all... Good.
Wait, which one has a time machine?
They both have time machines.
Have time machine, and they meet in the middle.
Maximus doesn't need it. He's already there, but he has one. Yeah. But he's already in the right time period.
Yeah.
Like, I love all of that, but I felt like there was nothing really in here that I went, oh, that's...
What about that? There's a point quite early on where a horse gets shot by a cannonball.
Okay, that bit
and
was
it really,
cool. Boy, did it really get shot
it
by
really,
a cannon.
Like, it's not one of those things where you see the cannon fire and there's smoke and a horse falls over.
No.
Like, the horse cops
the
a cannonball
horse
right in it and it's twitching on the way. It's Napoleon's horse and it like, twitches all the way down. Horrendous. Yeah.
And he loves that horse. And he didn't love that happening because the horse fell on him a little bit.
Mm.
And he was scared. I wouldn't be scared.
Interesting.
But, you know, that's just me. I'm built differently.
I wouldn't be there in the first place because I'm enlightened.
That's good too.
Yeah.
But you felt there was this kind of epic scale to the
battles and the scenery
and
whatever,
and when his cannons got stuck in the mud, et cetera, and so forth. Yeah.
But I also thought the supporting cast was really good.
Yeah, sure.
Vanessa Kirby's a great.
She's really good.
Josephine,
really good.
Rupert Everett as
here.
The Duke of Wellington.
Here he is. What's he doing here?
Just this. He's got this. He's got this constant jowly smirk that I love.
Jowly and smirky.
Just a jaded awful man.
Absolutely.
He's seen Napoleons come and go, and he's like, here's another one.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to defer to you for this, but in terms of costuming,
yes,
is this something that you?
I mean, this is not my era, James.
No, I wasn't alive then. I know it's not your era, Mason.
Okay, go on.
I know you're not 200 years old, Mason. Even if he bloody looks at him, am I right, everybody?
Come on, mate.
Apparently one of the things that everybody agrees on this, that's Napoleon subreddit is a fucking nightmare.
People hate this. Oh, really?
Okay. If you go to like r/movies, people are like, it's pretty whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right. I never met Napoleon. I don't care.
It's no Alien Covenant.
But I have a time machine, but I don't use it, so.
Well, would I? What would I mess with any of that?
That's right.
Irresponsible.
Yeah. Number one rule of r/movies is you don't mess with the timeline, even if you have a time machine.
Anyway, I liked all their funny little clothings and their trims and their golden lapels.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I think his earlier outfits are the better ones.
Yeah, these grubbier outfits before he emperors.
Not
up.
Even grubbier, but like he's got like a
waistcoat.
He's got a couple of velvet coats, and they have like kind of embroidered collars. And he's got a navy one, and he's got a burgundy one.
Yeah,
tremendous. I don't think he's like later era, and that's probably just the evolution of those French military uniforms. But I don't think they were as flattering.
Fair enough.
Yeah. If you're just in it for Napoleonic era fashion, just leave at the hour and a half mark.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just leave.
I want to go beyond that, though. I want to. Can I stay for the end of the movie?
No.
But I'm curious.
No, it's not.
Just don't.
No, just don't though.
Oh God. All right. Fair enough. Yeah, I thought the relationship between him and his wife was kind of I mean, that's like the key of the whole movie, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's interwoven throughout. Yeah. Thought that was an interesting meeting, and just like what an awful pair that should break up.
There were moments in this movie where it's like, oh, why are you doing that or whatever, and I'm like, oh, because that's actually what happened.
Yeah,
you know,
there is stuff like that that
that's right.
that happened. Do you want to do some historical inaccuracies?
Yes. What else can I? I think this like I say this all the time, but I liked all the supporting cast. There's some good faces in there.
Yeah,
there's Kevin Eldon, who's a British comedian. He played. He played the doctor.
He's in a bunch of. I want to say black. He might be in Black Books for a time, but he might not actually be in. He's in Big Train. There we go.
He's in Big Train.
He's in a bunch of stuff. Yeah. He's taking it seriously now, isn't he?
Well, it seems that way.
Yeah.
I'm sure. But I mean, that's that is the trajectory. It's like
Olivia Colman.
Exactly right. Yeah, yeah. He was in Knowing Me, Knowing You with Alan Partridge, Big Train, Brass Eye.
He was in the TV show Merlin.
Yeah, yeah.
These are all good things.
He was in Game of Thrones, apparently.
Game of Thrones. What the hell?
Mm.
Oh, he's in Shadow and Bone. recently cancelled.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. Also, Julian Hrindtut, who was in Hippies with Simon Pegg many years ago.
Okay,
and he was also in Keen Eddie, which is a cop show where an American cop has to go to England.
Does he like it?
No, he hates it.
It's Hrindtut.
Yes.
Who is this guy? Let me Googs this guy.
Give him a Googs. You'll recognize when you see him. You'll
be like, oh yeah, of course I know this guy.
Yeah.
I think I enjoyed like all the weird betrayals, things that really happen. You meet with somebody and you're like, let's build our armies together. Let's all make our families marry each other.
Uh-huh.
And then they're like, this guy just sent 100,000 troops. I mean, that's really rude. He said he wouldn't. He did it. But also just like the cavalier nature of just like these horrible fucking people. And again, this happened throughout history. Just killing millions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just on a whim. For nothing.
Yeah.
Stay in your country.
Yeah.
Why are you marching around? Why are you marching into Russia? What are you doing?
Yeah. Silly.
And it turned out to be silly. Shouldn't have done it.
Silly and cold.
Let's do some spoilers. Look, I don't think it's really.
They should have printed T-shirts for the occasion that said, I'm with Silly and Cold. An arrow. And all the arrows pointed to Napoleon.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's
adjustable
right.
Arrows you can point to Napoleon.
That's right.
Or it's a compass. I don't know. No, Napoleon has a big magnet on him.
Yeah, and nice, great.
The tip of the arrow.
Then they don't have to adjust while they're doing their
exactly.
battle.
Exactly.
Because they're too busy being hit with cannons.
I'm going to say best movie ever. I don't think it's like Ridley Scott's best. I think I can understand why you don't like this. I just thought it was pretty interesting and pretty funny.
Napoleon, when he wants to have relations with his wife,
yeah.
He does a thing where he's like, like, come on, baby. What a weirdo.
Which might be true.
Well, here's the thing as well. Like, on the poster, there's a big writing credit for David Scarpa. It's like directed by Ridley Scott, and then it says the screenplay is David Scarpa. And I'm like, there's very rarely that much emphasis on the writer, I think, in any kind of movie like this. And I'm just like, is this guy. Is it in his contract that he's on the posters or what have you, or is Ridley Scott throwing him under the bus? Because he's like, I know there's going to be historical inaccuracies, and I know I'm going to get flack for it. But if I just go, look, I just film what the writer did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he did The Last Castle, The Day the Earth Stood Still, the remake.
Okay.
All the Money in the World.
Oh yeah.
This movie, and he wrote Gladiator 2.
Ah, the first Gladiator 2 or New Gladiator 2.
It's a 2024 Gladiator 2.
New Gladiator 2.
Gladiator 2, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, I don't know, man.
I can't wait to Gladiator 2 with you.
Great.
Yeah. So let's do some spoilers. So I guess in terms of spoilers, if you know anything about his life, he gets exiled because he went into Russia when he shouldn't have.
That's right.
And they burnt down Russia. And he's like, this sucks.
And also he got like 500,000 people killed.
He killed like half a million
of his own soldiers. Yeah,
that's right. And they don't like him. And then he comes back and he does a big battle of Waterloo, but it rains, so he loses.
That's right.
Because he can't move his cannons.
Well, he's exiled to an island,
yeah.
And it seems very nice.
Elba.
It looks like a nice Greek island. It looks delightful. Eat some olives. Have a brunch.
Have a piñata.
Have a bruschetta.
Eat a piñata.
Eat a piñata. Eat a bruschetta. but then he's like, no, I'm bored and I'm horny and I want to go back and see Josephine or whatever.
Yeah, man.
Who I've previously broken up with because she couldn't give me a child.
Yep.
And then he goes back, and then the soldiers are like, the army is like, you can't come in here. And then
we're not doing Napoleon right now.
That's exactly right. But then he's like, who's with me to do a Napoleon, soldiers? And they're like, we're all with you. It's like, you got 500,000 of them killed.
Crazy.
Why are they on your side? But again, it was the past, and it actually happened. So
yeah, it's wild. I mean, presumably the people that sided with him forgot,
and they lived.
Yeah.
It was survivorship bias. They're like, we lived.
I also liked how his hairline was receding and he increasingly, like,
combed it forward.
Love that, yeah. Mason. Anyway, then he gets exiled again, then he dies.
Yeah, he gets exiled to an old rock.
Yeah. Which,
I reckon I would have said.
Don't exile me to an old rock.
No, what I would have said is.
Rupert Everett, please.
I would have said, they would have exiled me to the nice island.
Yeah.
And I would have said, just hypothetically, if I were to come back and do a big rebellion and attempt to, like, a coup.
Which I'm not going to do.
I'm not going to do it. But to be clear, would you exile me to a nicer island or a worse island?
Would you exile me even harder or not as much?
That's right.
And by the way, you're not allowed to shoot me.
Yeah. You have to exile me because I'm rich.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know what?
The money.
Yeah. The thought I had was like, man, I would love to be exiled because they give you 2 million francs a year.
I mean, you have to do this.
Servants and whatever, yeah. And you just get to chill in Greece or whatever. Oh my
and
God.
In like, what was it, like 1820 or whenever he was exiled, getting $1 million a year, yeah. Francs, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's what an insane amount of money.
All you have to do was just wander, have the bruschetta,
yeah.
Hit a piñata, as we mentioned.
Look, man, they should have fucking shot him.
Yeah,
like,
but they didn't, and that's the beauty of historical dramas. It actually happened, and it was stupid because people were stupid then.
They were.
Now they're not. Run stupid. At these cannons.
Yeah. Oh my God. Anyway, I went to historyextra.com.
Okay.
And here's some
inaccuracies. That's a reliable website.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And this is some.
It's suggesting to me that it's like like extra stuff. We've just added on to history.
No, this is real.
Okay.
It's slash real.
The website. Oh, great. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So here's some of them. Yep. This is not all of them. So, you know, he says like he came from nothing because he's Corsican. He's not actually French or whatever.
Okay, right.
He's actually from minor nobility, and that gave him the initial leg up. He's a Nepo baby.
Of course, right? He is.
That's
yeah.
the way it goes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Father owned an emerald mine.
Exactly. Yeah. You know,
pockets filled with emeralds.
You know the time that he fired into the crowd?
Yes.
And it was like a lot of like women and children or whatever was depicted being there. Sure. Apparently, it wasn't just that. There were also soldiers and well armed militia, though he did do that.
Okay,
did point blank fire cannons.
So this is the point because he had essentially taken over, and there were like royalists who were objecting to his. Yeah, don't do it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
so actually, I wouldn't say to be more sympathetic, but it wasn't just in the movie. It's just women and children, basically.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
yeah, and civilians. Yeah,
and civilians. Yeah, but he and so that's the thing that he did, which is the thing he often did: fire cannons into people,
right.
But better than anybody else.
Yeah, so true.
He didn't fire on the pyramids. There's a moment where he's having a battle there, and he shoots it into the pyramids, and the rocks fall down. Everyone goes, "Woo!"
How'd the pyramids fall down? That's I great. Ask you. You know,
yeah.
Was it aliens again?
Yeah,
we're coming back to take it back to the top of our pyramids. You know,
so the battle itself actually took place about 7 miles away from the pyramids themselves, well outside effective artillery range for the period. Also, he's depicted as, I would say, quite short in this, not super short. There's a moment where he has to stand on a box to talk to a mummy.
Oh, that's right, of course. And they were very effective with camera angles in terms of like there's moments where he's walking through the royal court or what have you, and everybody seems taller than him. Yeah.
But he was 5'6", which was like standard back
at
then.
At the time, right.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. How tall he was.
That is very cool.
Now the moment
a normal height king.
Yes. There was a moment where
praise our normal height king. Yes, I am normal.
Height. But I'm not normal in other ways. I'm a rat.
Yeah. A root rat.
A root rat.
But yeah. I root is pretty much standard as for the time.
Yeah, absolutely. So there was the moment. There's a moment in it where he basically baits an army into coming out across a lake, and then he fires cannons into the lake, which is the thing that he does. And
A
frozen lake.
They don't just walk into
one. No, they walk into a lake. And they all drown, right? Apparently there was no great lake. There was only a handful of fishing ponds. And apparently Napoleon knew how many people had been killed in this manner because he ordered the lakes to be drained.
Ah.
And there was apparently like a handful of people maybe, and he never intended to trap the Austrian and Russian army or on a lake and seize the opportunity with PR and the propaganda coup to make it look like it was like his idea to do this.
Right.
So this thing, he apparently fueled the fire of this thing that happened, that didn't happen, I should say.
Okay, so none of that happened.
Not in that way, at least,
okay, right,
yeah.
Okay.
No.
Looked good, though.
It looks great.
Yeah.
It made me very reminiscent.
Huh. Of history?
Yeah. Go, wow. Epic scale.
That's right.
Through history, I said to the people in the cinema.
Epic bacon history.
That's right. He never met the Duke of Wellington.
Whoa.
At all. Never met Rupert Everett. Presumably the actors in real life met. That wasn't the green screen. And these last words were depicted are apparently wrong. So
he said France something Josephine? Is
that
what
he said? France Army Josephine. But apparently he said France the Army, head of the Army. Josephine.
Oh, okay.
Which also, like, it's weird.
It is, isn't it?
Head of the army.
Head of the army.
Is that him? Being like, head of the army.
No, he wanted the head of the army to be Josephine.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I get it.
Army, head France, head of the army, Kurt Russell.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Future of cinema. I'm dead.
But apparently also he didn't come back because he missed Josephine. She was already dead by the time he was I'm doing a big coup. Got my hat on. I'm running at you. So, you know, yeah. What an awful time period.
Oh, my God.
You know?
Except for that exile. That's where you'd want to be.
Yeah, just left alone with servants.
They've given you the yellow tint.
Exactly.
That means cool paradise, you know?
Cool paradise, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Just retire, idiot. Yeah. You're only going to live another 3 years.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Nobody lived past 50. Relax.
Mm. Yeah.
Goddamn. What a colourful cast of characters.
I reckon I'd join the army.
Why?
And I'd say...
Because it's cool.
What do I have to... Like, I'm not saying
yeah.
that I'm going to commit enough crimes that I'll get exiled to Greece or whatever,
mm.
but what would I have to do to get exiled to Greece? Just quietly.
Yeah, like what would take to that line but not over?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't shoot me. Because I'm related to Napoleon.
I'm related to Napoleon, yeah,
so
exactly.
So if you could, and then...
Does he have living descendants?
I wondered that myself.
Let's check. Yes.
Oh, what did they think of the movie? Or are they fascists?
Yeah, there's a guy... Yeah, they're all fascists. There's a guy called Jean-Christophe Prince Napoleon
oh.
who... Is the disputed head of the Imperial House of France.
Okay.
Apparently. He would be known as Napoleon the VIII.
Oh, if yeah. they were still doing royal titles. If but guess were. What, they're not.
They killed everybody. They killed all the people that did that.
Yeah.
That were doing that. I tell you what, though. I love that idea.
Do you think he's in exile?
No, he's wearing a suit here.
What do you think he does? Do you think he's – because he'd be rich.
Well, okay, he studied whatever.
Great.
He has an MBA at Harvard Business School.
Oh, okay.
He worked in 20...
Got that foot in the door. Got that buckle shoe
no,
foot
it
in
says
the door.
Here he did it by himself.
That's great.
He said he didn't even use the name Napoleon, which is his name. He said he was... here we go. He worked at a private equity firm for
oh,
a
yeah,
bit.
That sounds
Blackstone
right.
Group.
Oh, Blackstone Group. Yeah, terrific. Exactly, yeah. Oh, wow. Runs in the bloody family, it seems.
He lived and worked in New York City as an investment banker for Morgan Stanley and in London as a private equity associate for Advent International. He's fluent in French, English, and Spanish. He represents his dynasty's heritage at public events and ceremonies in France and elsewhere in Europe. God damn. Right. There you go.
Love that.
Must be nice.
It must be nice to work for Blackstone Capital. Must be nice.
I bet the perks are excellent.
Yeah, I bet love it.
Yeah. So there you go.
Get to go to the gold class lounge in the airport.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? I thought he'd look more inbred. He looks like a normal dude.
He does look normal.
Yeah. Maybe he's had surgery.
Maybe.
I bet. I don't know anything about this guy.
I hope. The media catches up with him and is like, what do you think of superhero movies?
Listen, if you had to take a shot in the dark,
mm-hmm.
does this guy suck?
Yeah.
Yep. You don't know that. You don't know him, though.
But if I had to take a shot in the dark okay. with a big cannon.
Well, I would never cast stones on this guy who probably sucks.
Sure.
But I would never say that.
I understand, sure.
Should we move it along?
Yeah, let's do it.
What are we going to talk about?
What we're reading.
Yep.
And then what we're going to read.
Yeah. I'm doing the thing.
Whoa, was right.
We're halfway there through the show. Probably a bit over, actually.
Definitely over.
Great.
better not be more than an hour left.
I tell you what, Mason, what have you been reading?
That's a great question.
Happy to ask.
I rewatched John Wick 4.
How was that?
Holds up. Looks yeah. good, even on a smaller screen.
Yeah.
Delightful.
Do you think it's the best John Wick or is 1 the best John Wick?
I think 4 is the best John
it
Wick.
Might be the best John
having,
Wick.
Having, you know... We've all gone on a journey with John Wick.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like we're on a journey with him together.
Sure.
But I think, you know, at the start of the journey, I'm like, this is the best John Wick because at the time was the only John Wick.
It was in many ways.
And then the second one, I'm like, this is too silly.
Yeah.
And the third one, I'm like, this is silly silly and boring. And then the fourth one, I'm like, no, I get it.
I like the second one.
This is
one.
Cool. Yeah. The second one is good as yeah, well. Yeah.
Third one was.
Red and Love.
Okay.
Yeah.
Had a bit where he went to the desert and cut his dick off or whatever he has to do.
Yep.
You know, he always has to do something weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, for whoever's running whatever the thing is.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. This one's got the stair fight, which has an incredible
That's true.
Joke.
They should do something other than you have to cut off your ring finger to prove you're...
Like what?
Something that wouldn't interfere with your ability
to... You have to learn saxophone.
Yes.
But quickly.
Yeah, that's right. Welcome to the table, Mr. Wick.
They slide you a weird coin.
That's right.
Mr. Wick, please. You've proven your credentials. But it's holds up. That's
yeah,
good
yeah,
to
that's
know,
true. Yeah. And also, I rewatched Dungeons and Dragons: Honor Among Thieves. Because it's free now. It's free on Paramount Plus. I think
you have Paramount Plus. Good for you. Must be nice. But
you have Paramount Plus.
Yeah, it must be nice. But Chris Pine...
There's no way you don't have Paramount Plus.
I don't know if I do. I probably might, just by accident.
Mm.
But Chris Pine said that they might get a sequel recently. Yeah. He's like, you never know.
Which is, someone pointed out on...
Let me just say, if you're in the studio, don't do it. You shouldn't. I mean, I would love to see it, yeah. But, like, financially, you shouldn't do it.
But also, we might be in the last days of, like, just studios getting stupid amounts of money to do stuff that, you know...
Yeah.
You maybe direct to Paramount Plus.
Maybe it is doing well. Maybe it's doing well on streaming,
yeah.
So that's...
So, yeah, I mean, you know, just be like, movie. Well, where's the hum? Maybe this will be the one that kicks off or whatever.
Yeah,
be like,
yeah.
Well, we've given money to everybody else. Here you go.
Exactly.
Also, somebody pointed out on Twitter, it's so accurate to real Dungeons and Dragons in the sense that everybody wants to play another game, but nobody knows when it's going to happen. Nobody can organize anything. So
very true, Mason.
Very true.
Very true to real life.
Yeah.
I watched a movie on Netflix by a comedy troupe. It's called Please Don't Destroy the Treasure of Foggy Mountain.
I've heard the name, but what's going on with that?
So it's kind of like, you remember Mystery Team?
Yeah,
the group that Donald Glover was in.
Donald Glover, D.C. Pearson, the third guy.
Dominic Dirks.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, so it feels like that kind of thing. And then Conan's in it, so it's a three guys.
Oh, maybe that's why I've seen the...
It hasn't, like, rated particularly well on, like, whatever the rating thing is. But I thought it was, like, silly and fun, and they've got a good chemistry, and it's absurd, and there's some pretty solid jokes in it. So, actually, I quite liked it. It was just kind of... Like, this is a fun watch.
There's an actor in this movie, and their name is X Mayo.
Whoa!
So, I'm on board.
You're on board?
Yeah.
It's got some fun little cameos that happen in it, you know. And Conan's like, you don't see him often do some acting.
Doing acting,
and
you're right.
He's a really fun actor. Megan Slade is really good. I don't know if you've seen her on, like, various social media things, and now she's, like, breaking out and more mainstream stuff is good. John Goodman narrates some but not all of it.
Okay,
and there's
a
moment where he's just like, I'm John Goodman or whatever.
Right, which is, would you say fun. It's up there with, like a Hot Rod or a Never Stop, Never Stopping? Like a Lonely Island stunt?
Maybe like their earlier stuff, sure.
Okay,
probably.
Sure, okay,
yeah.
Right. Well, you've got to start somewhere.
I think it's fun.
And it might as well be a Netflix show with a Netflix movie with Conan O'Brien.
That's right. They do, mm-hmm. I think they do like the digital SNL skits or something at the moment, these guys. But so they've got some funny stuff, Mason. But they've got a good dynamic. And I wonder which of them's going to be really famous and the other two disappear.
Interesting.
Or maybe they'll all come up together. They'll all Leonardo DiCaprio together.
Maybe they'll all be the next major Marvel movie star.
Maybe they will. So that's all the thing. Oh, and I've been watching Monarch.
Sure.
Because we've been going through the...
The Monsterverse.
The Monsterverse. And speaking of, I'll talk more about this next week, but Jordan Vogt Roberts, who directed Kong Skull Island, which is the last one we talked about, he messaged me and said like a bunch of nice stuff about
it. Oh, it must be nice.
It was really nice, actually.
Must be nice stuff. Must be nice for a guy to email you and give you compliments. Must be nice.
You also got a compliment.
Oh, it must be nice
for me.
Must be nice for me to have to hear secondhand that I got a compliment. Must be nice. It is nice. Yeah. Feels nice. That's nice for me.
But he told me about
I can't get out of this voice. I'm stuck.
Oh,
I'm trying to be sincere,
you can just
but it
stop
must.
Talking.
No, I can't. I can't stop talking. That's antithetical to the podcast if somebody stops talking.
But I can keep talking when you stop.
I guess, yeah. It's a good idea. It's a good idea.
Is that what you want?
Wrap up the show.
I mean, we're not there yet.
Hang on, I'll just bang my head on the desk. Okay, I'm fine now. I'm back.
But there was no noise podcasting.
Yeah.
It's a mystery.
We removed it in editing. It's the magic of editing.
But he told me a bunch of stuff that also we got wrong.
Oh.
And also, he CinemaSins this, Mason.
Oh, no.
But also like some really, which behind the scenes stuff. But Claire's away this weekend. And I'm looking after the kids and I'm doing this and I've got a mate coming from the UK. He's a menace. And you know about this.
That's right.
And so I want to go through it properly. I'll talk about it next week.
Oh, you want a CinemaSins? His CinemaSins?
No, I just want to talk about it because this is really fascinating stuff because it's a fun movie and there's some stuff where he told me. I'm like, that is wild. The
name
studio.
One thing we got wrong though.
I can't remember specifically.
Well, if I got it wrong, it was a joke.
Yeah, it was a joke. But he did agree with you on that cigarette thing when you were like, as if there'd be no time for a cigarette. But some of the stuff he told me that the studio was like, take that out. And he's like, why would you, okay, I'll just say this. They wanted him to
take. Does he know we're going to?
Yeah, I asked him, yeah. They wanted to do, less John C. Reilly, which is, absolutely insane.
No.
Why would you do that?
Why would you get John C. Reilly and not use John C. Reilly?
Yeah.
The man was in Walk Hard.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Didn't he win an Oscar maybe? I don't know.
Probably for Walk Hard. Or Chicago or something.
Probably for Chicago. Anyway, we'll talk about that next week.
I love that.
We can't do it mentioned in the Caravan of Garbage videos for the next MonsterVerse movies because we recorded them.
That's true.
4 years ago.
That's true.
Yeah. All right, should we move to the next segment of the show? And is it the letter segment?
Yes, and it must be nice.
What?
Now.
The letter segment?
Yeah,
it must be nice.
It certainly must be nice. Now, as people know, I play the letters theme through my phone.
Yeah.
And it's a new phone.
Must be nice.
It is nice. It's really nice. But the volume on this is very high, so I've I've pitched it somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
We'll see what happens.
I like this experiment. Classic one was too low, Mason. Letters, that's too loud.
Right now, we're going to do letters.
It must be nice to be really inconsiderate.
It is. It's fun. That was great.
If you do want to reach the show, you can hashtag Weekly Planet Pod on Twitter or weeklyplanetpod at gmail.com.
That's right.
What do you got? What do we do?
Here's an email from Adam.
Adam?
Adam says, wanting to scratch my eyes out watching Caravan of Garbage.
All right.
Hey, guys, I recently had laser eye surgery.
Oh.
It was hands down the worst experience of my life. But now you've got laser eyes.
Exactly.
And that's cool.
Think about all the laser eye surgery you can do on others with your laser eyes.
That's right.
Mm.
It's like a pyramid scheme. Or Tupperware.
A laser pyramid scheme.
You get your own lasers and then you... Anyway. On the first day, I could hardly bear to open my eyes, much less look at my phone.
Yeah.
Well, then is life even worth living?
No.
But I needed some form of content to distract me from the pain.
Mm-hmm.
I'd already burned through all my podcasts, and the only option remaining was to throw myself at the mercy of the YouTube algorithm.
I never do that.
That's right. Given my sensitive eyes, this left me in the awkward position of having to ask my girlfriend to set this up for me. There was only one thing for it, so I groggily told her to type in Caravan of Garbage into the search bar and click the first video that came up. She has no idea who you guys are or what your shtick is, so there was more than a hint of confusion in her voice when she replied, "Is Shrek 2 okay?" She followed up with, "Don't you at least want to start at the beginning?" Anyway,
yeah, I mean, that's a good point.
Yeah, and he goes through some of the videos. The algorithm fed me your absolute slog through Michael Bay Transformers movies. Listening to you guys process a similarly awful ordeal gave me an enormous amount of comfort.
Laser eye surgery is very similar to watching 5 Michael Bay Transformers movies.
I would be genuinely interested to know if Mesa would rather watch them again or get LASIK himself.
Oh, yeah. Have you talked about that? Do you get LASIK?
I don't know if I would. I think I'm just a glasses guy.
Your glasses
guy. I don't like anything touching my eyes.
Yeah.
And I know people who've had LASIK and they're like, now it feels like there's somebody touching my eyes all the time.
Oh, my God.
And I don't like that.
Would you like me to touch your eyes because I'm your friend?
Oh, yeah, then we can get used to it. I'll come over and you can touch my eyes a couple of hours a day until I'm used to it. Anyway, just wanted to say a big thanks for all the hilarious content as always.
Oh, we're just happy to continue to like just kick goals.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
The biggest compliment I can pay is that I will most likely listen to all these episodes again, even given the now associated trauma. Yeah, it's like when you throw up on a certain type of alcohol and then you can never have it again.
That's right.
It's like, exactly like
that. You can never eat vomit ever again.
That's exactly that's right.
Mason, what about this?
Go
this
on.
It's from Nick Saxby and he says, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. I'm glad you've got laser eyes, by the way.
It's cool.
My 6-year-old is a fan of superhero stuff, particularly Marvel things. He is getting great at reading. I wasn't really a comic
book kid. Must be nice.
Must be, I know.
Must be nice to die to read.
Don't know much about the genre. Would you recommend him? What would you recommend him getting started in superhero comics? Well, actually, I do have a recommendation for that, but I've got to look it up. Do you mind if I just do that now?
Do a little look up.
I'm going to need 40 minutes.
Okay, you can have 40 minutes. I'm going to eat this biscuit.
Can I have that?
No. You can. You want one?
No, Mason. I was joking. I was joking. God, you don't get me. I'm funny and you don't get me.
I'm not a classic Mason moment on the podcast.
Your mum is a podcast.
I'm eating a cracker with cheese on it.
Oh, okay, right.
Yum, 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 yum.
Here's a good one I might start with. So they do these...
I think it's a little bit stale.
Okay. They do these kids' graphic novels.
Okay.
There's like a Miles Morales one and there's a Spider-Ham one and there's a Shuri one and whatever. And one's called the Miles Morales ones. There's one called Miles Morales Shockwaves and Miles Morales Stranger Tides.
Okay.
They're just contained stories, and it's just Miles Morales doing a Spider-Man thing with my son because we read them together.
Mm-hmm.
So
does he help you out with the big words, James?
He absolutely does, Mason. That was mean, actually. And so they're like good kids comics to get into. There's some. I don't know, I've ordered a bunch of stuff like. I get a lot of like Ninja Turtles comics for my son. He likes Ninja Turtles, so like various anime. There's a new Ninja Turtles Saturday morning animated cartoon comic book, which is a continuation of the cartoon from the 80s and 90s.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And that's a fun kids read as well.
And reading's reading.
Reading it's is good. Reading, yes.
You know?
As a teacher, when I was a teacher, Mason, that's what I used to say to parents. I used to say, reading is reading. And if you want to fight about it, let's step outside.
That's right.
Oh, you're bigger than me. I don't want to fight anymore, actually.
That's right. Now you've
I hope you've learned your lesson.
Now you've pulled up to your full height. I'm scared. But I still believe that thing about reading, unless you raise your fist at me, in which case I don't. I don't care anymore.
So there you go. There's some good ones.
Mm, very good.
What else, Mason?
Well, I don't know because I don't have any kids, so I don't know.
Oh, I just meant
I'd say read Watchmen.
Okay,
read
yeah.
Watchmen to your child.
What did you read as a kid? Watchmen. I mean, it was just kind of like anything, wasn't
yeah.
it? Anything you can get
yeah.
your hands on.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't really.
I got a Batman Ninja Turtles crossover comic. I got that.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It would have. I mean, there would have been stuff pitched to kids, but it was really just whatever was at the newsagent.
Absolutely.
And I didn't really.
No.
Didn't really think about it. I'm pretty sure, confident. I did read like The Dark Knight Returns way too early.
Oh yeah.
And Batman Year One, etc.
Absolutely.
Which is a bit of fun.
It's a bit of fun.
Bit of fun.
Yeah.
Here's an email from Will.
Hi, Will.
Thematically, very similar to the last email.
Okay.
You guys made my nose surgery less unpleasant.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We were there.
Laser nose.
Oh my God.
Incredible. Hey mates, got surgery done on my nose yesterday and just about to be discharged. I haven't been able to breathe through my nose or sleep properly for 4 years.
Oh my God.
And was only able to get a diagnosis a month ago. Turned out I had chronic sinusitis, deviated septum, and some big old polyps in my nostrils. Yuck.
Damn, how'd they get in there?
I don't know. Recovery so far from the surgery has been a little rough with all the bleeding, but listening to your old podcast episodes helped me sleep and keep my mind at ease. Thanks, William.
God damn, if you're having a surgery, major or minor, this is the podcast for you.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
I think you should probably just say no painkillers for me.
No pain, no gain.
No, send the anaesthetician away
yep.
and bring in the podcast-thetician and he can play my favorite episodes from the Weekly Planet podcast.
Oh my God.
And First Incision. No, I would like some drugs, please.
Yeah, please. Actually, I've made a terrible mistake.
Lots and lots of drugs.
And also, please. I realize I don't like that podcast that much.
Yeah.
And when you play it out loud and everyone in the room can hear it, it's a bit embarrassing.
It is embarrassing, the things they're talking about.
What else? I've got one more, Mason.
Okay, go for it.
Oh, no, I've got two more. This is from Shady, who says, may I propose, in the spirit of Monthbius, Madam Webuary?
I love that.
I love it too.
Is that when it's coming out?
Yes.
Love that.
I mean, if it wasn't, then I wouldn't love it, would I?
I mean, if it's coming out in February.
But Shady has thought about it.
Yeah. I mean, if it comes out in February, we could still do that, I reckon.
Yeah, why not?
Wait.
You mean a different month?
Yes.
You can still do it. Yeah, it's fine. Because
yeah.
Monthbius was this way, whenever Monthbius
yeah.
came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else have I got here, Mason? I got
March
one more.
To March?
What's that?
If it comes out in March, we can call it March to March.
March to March?
Yeah. Marchdom, like Madam.
Okay.
And Web, March, like Web. Marchdom, March.
This is from
but it's in the font.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Madam Web font.
Okay, well, that
which is a pretty basic font, if yeah. I recall. It's just
wow, that's really rude. That's
it's
be,
like a Canva
you're
font.
You're be eating your words when everybody
yeah,
loves
yeah,
that
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's from Man to Man, who says, hi ho, mateos. It's your old pal Amanda here. My birthday's on the 28th. And it would just make my whole year if you could sing me a little birthday song or, you know, just a happy birthday will do. Smiley face, love and gratitude and happiness to you both.
Are we allowed to sing in a happy birthday song now? Is it out of copyright?
We can do our own version.
Nice.
Go on.
Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday to ya.
Amanda. Yeah. But nice. If you also it's your birthday and you want this, put your own name in.
That's right.
Maybe we could just do some names, a list of names. And
yeah,
then,
yeah, yeah. Happy birthday, Meso. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, James.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Ricardo Montalban.
Terrific stuff, Mason. Have you got any more? We're going to call it a day.
Oh, it's a great question.
A lot of great questions.
You're full of great questions.
Mm-hmm.
Full of great questions.
God, Mason, I have to go out.
Okay, this is an email.
I have to go out, Mason.
Okay, this is an email from Blammo.
I'm already feeling it.
Real name. No, you're right. You're doing great. You're full of vitamins. You're full of vitamins and vigor.
I've been drinking a lot of Hydrolite.
It's a good idea. It's a very good idea.
I don't think
it stacks.
It stacks.
Over days.
If you're hydrolyzed, if you're hydrated, it helps, Mason.
I think you're probably too hydrated.
It stacks.
Look how
bloated I am. Does this look like a man who's overhydrated?
Look at the bottle. It says symptoms may include bloating and grumpy. Being a grumpy guts.
My guts are not grumpy. They're just hydrated.
Hey, James and Mason, do you ever have moments where a comic's art just completely kills it for you? Leaves you incapable of reading it. I know we all have art we love, but do you feel this guttural dislike as I do?
Yes.
This happens with me, unfortunately, with All-Star Superman. That's Frank Quitely. Who has a very distinctive.
I mean, I like that, but I can see why you wouldn't like that because he looks like a thumb.
Yeah, everybody's sort of thumb-like.
Everyone
in that.
Looks like a thumb in that.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes Frank Quitely's art does kind of, I find it a little bit jarring.
It's quietly upsetting for you.
Yeah, it is a little bit, yeah.
Well, speaking of art, we might find a little bit jarring. We looked at a comic for Big Sandwich, a book club this week at bigsandwich.co, which is our private Patreon service.
That's
we looked at the Four Doctors comic.
It's called Four Doctors.
It's called Four Doctors. It's in relation to a Four Doctor comic crossover that happened in 2015. And also, there was a new David Tennant episode. We haven't watched it yet. But we'll probably do the three, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or
yeah.
we'll just talk about it roughly. Be like, yeah, he came back and he did the thing that he does.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He went, Blammo, I'm the doctor. And that's everybody exactly right, yeah. ran away or got evaporated. Mm. Yeah.
I think maybe we've talked about this on our podcast, The Big Sandwich Classic Comic Book Club.
Good plug then.
But Dave Gibbons, who illustrates
Watchmen,
I find his non-superhero art.
Kingsman.
Yes.
That's a good example.
I find it quite difficult to navigate.
Because everyone looks like a bland man.
Yeah.
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 Because he's good at making, like, with Watchmen, because there's so many colorful characters and scenarios, but it's kind of drawn very traditionally.
Yeah,
and
that really
works well together with all the design elements. Uh-huh. But yeah, I guess it doesn't always work, does it? For you, I love him.
But I bet he's done other,
I bet he hasn't. I bet he's only done one comic and it's The Watchmen and that other one you don't like.
I'm going to look it up. Oh, you know what? Art, look, again, I've just been critical of legendary comic book artist Dave Gibbons. Who I'm sure has done lots more great stuff. Oh, he did the Superman story for The Man Who Has Everything.
Oh. And
he's done a bunch of stuff for 2008. But anyway, I guess I prefer his kind of more out there stuff, I guess is what I'm saying.
Oh, he did Alien Salvations and Salvation and Sacrifice. That's a good point.
I did Rogue Trooper. Anyway.
Well, you look like a real idiot. This guy's actually done a lot of good comics.
Well, I was going to say people that do a lot of tracing.
Yeah.
Not like Alex Ross, who will like bring people in and take photo
models
and stuff like that. But just people will get who like trace out of magazines. So and they just do it with they just do whatever pose they need. They just find a random person and then trace them.
Or pornography.
and so like characters look different from panel to panel because they're traced from different people.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's that is the art that upsets me, I think.
You do not like it.
I do not like.
Well, I love it.
Right. Oh, there's a new speaking of tracing, I was gonna say. If we're gonna I think I might check out Marvel has a new Ultimate Universe.
Oh yeah, how's that kicking off? What's the deal with that?
I think there's some current issue, but it's something involving the Reed Richards from the previous Ultimate Universe and he's made a new universe.
Oh, okay.
Et cetera. But it's
must be nice.
But Jonathan Hickman is writing a new Spider-Man series. I don't think it's out yet, but it's out soon.
Oh,
in
my
which
God.
Spider-Man, Peter Parker becomes Spider-Man much later in life. So he's already married and he has kids.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of fun.
Whoa.
Yeah.
He missed a window there to become Spider-Man earlier.
That's true,
the best time to do it. I would hate to be Spider-Man now. Jesus, on top of everything else?
Yep.
Forget about it.
Bad
I wouldn't
back.
Even do it. I wouldn't even do it. No, my back would be fine because I have Spider-Man powers.
That's true. Yeah.
Except if I was the Tobey Maguire version as a bad back.
That's true, yeah.
But I wouldn't be that version. I'd be unique to me.
That's great.
I'd probably be the most iconic version at the end
that's
of the day.
That's great for you.
People will be like, finally somebody did it right.
Finally somebody's done it iconically. Finally someone's been an iconic Spider-Man.
And God, he looks good, people
that's
would
right.
say.
Yeah, that's
as
right.
I swung past. No, I wouldn't be swinging. Yeah. I wouldn't use it.
But some of the Ultimate Universe comics are out now, I think, so I'm going to check those
okay.
out. Yeah.
Great.
But otherwise, that's the end of the show,
I think. Is the end of the
folks,
show.
Thank you so much for listening. We absolutely appreciate it. Thank you for telling your friends about the podcast.
Yeah, what are you telling
the new listeners? Tell them we're good.
Tell them that.
Tell them we're good for surgery.
Tell them secrets.
Tell them we're good for surgery and then stab them.
Yeah. And then you hand them the iPod.
Yes, that's right.
With us on it.
Yeah.
You'll need this.
Yeah, for your
long recovery.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And thank you for leaving a 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice. Do it in app.
I'll read them out.
James will read it out.
I've got one here, Mason. I've got a review.
Okay.
It's from JTown0921 who says, my Aussie boys, I can't even remember how I came across this podcast, but I've been listening for about 5 years. Love every episode. James and Mason have the best banter and are absolutely hilarious.
We're Aussie boys.
We certainly are.
That's why we're so funny.
We're the two most iconic Aussie boys there are.
That's right.
Some people might say Hamish and Andy.
Some might say Daryl Summers and Plucker Duck.
Some
might say Daryl Summers and Dickie Knee. Some might say Daryl Summers and Red Simons. Some people might say Daryl Summers and Wilbur Wild. Some might say Daryl Summers and John Blackman, cartoonist. Some might say Daryl Summers and the Lavinia Nixon. Thank you. But they're all wrong.
Yeah, that's not as good as us.
It's Daryl Summers and a clone of Daryl Summers working together. But after that, it's us.
And then it's us.
The best Aussie boys.
What else we got, Mason? Or should I say Daryl Summers' clone? How else could you be so entertaining?
That's exactly right. Folks, if you want to get into contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. You can also go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group, or you can go to the Weekly Planet Podcast subreddit and Discord, fun civil chats about podcasts and pop culture. Thank you to the moderators over there, Fidel and Maisie and Sarabi. They also do TikToks and Weekly Planet clips channels
on YouTube
and all sorts of stuff. If you want to follow some people on the socials, first follow our friend Rob Collings, who edits this podcast. He does all sorts of things, keeping you up to date on all things The Weekly Planet. He's at The Weekly Planet on Twitter. He's at Raw Collings on Twitter. You can follow me, Wikipedia Brown on Twitter, Nick Meso on Instagram. James is Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere.
Everywhere.
If you want to support the show, you go to patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies. You're chucking a buck or an amount you would not miss.
That's right.
That's the key. Or if you're big Richie Rich.
God.
If you're a big Napoleon Bonaparte type, you're in exile and you're getting 2 million francs a year.
Yes.
Well, then the least you could do is pay us $9 per month at bigsandwich.co.
But preferably more.
Yeah.
That's the least you
That's
could
the least. You could do. You could, yeah, if you're on 2 million francs a year.
Yeah, yeah, what are you doing?
Whatever that is now.
Yeah, whatever.
Probably
it's
less than you'd think.
I don't know.
Go to bigsandwich.co. You've got bonus podcasts, movie commentaries, early videos, video game let's plays, all sorts of stuff.
That's right.
Good times. Thank you to The Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes. If you want a t-shirt, you go to tpublic.com. You search for The Weekly Planet. There's some t-shirts there. Don't even worry about it.
I'm looking.
As far as we know.
I want to do Godzilla minus one.
Yeah.
But it's not playing anywhere. Really
yeah, there was
useful.
A there was
God,
a
this is annoying.
It was a premiere, I think.
Yeah,
maybe it was in Sydney, and we didn't go to it.
No,
but hopefully it'll get a
it's not look doesn't look like it's showing anywhere near us. But
oh,
I don't know. I don't know what we'll do next week. We'll
look
figure
at
it
the
out.
Cinema Nova website. Maybe it's Cinema Nova.
I want to go to Cinema Nova.
It's nice at Cinema Nova.
I want to go to Village Cinema Nova or whatever it is.
Oh, well. Well, you're in luck because it's not on there.
Can't we just watch Killers of the Flower Moon again? No. Can't we just watch Hunger Games prequel again?
Oh, yeah. Your favorite.
My favorite long movie.
I guess we could do that.
Yeah, cool. All right. All right, thanks, everyone.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Goodbye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.